Welcome to Spring the Beacon with Ryan Rieger.
Today we play Lego, and Daddy helps the other guys stay home and play Lego.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Streams of Income radio show. I'm your host, Ryan Rieger. And I got to tell you guys, I love being a podcast host. I get to meet the coolest people. And today's guest is somebody that I've known of for a long time, but he's the first time on the show. His name is Riley Meek. He is a friend of a friend, Ryan Horn, my friend and coach, knows him very, very well. They've worked together. And Riley is an incredible dude. He's got an amazing story, built many businesses to 7 and 8 figures. He's a believer and now has a ministry called King's Council. It's a nonprofit in which they want to train and equip entrepreneurs all over the world to preach the gospel or to earn that extra income so we can get the gospel out and get this job done. And so I love talk to him. He said true success is not how much is in your bank account, not the typical, you know, I get to do what I want, when I want, however I want, with who I want, when I want. But to him, it's, did I do what I know God called me to do? And that is my heartbeat. Said something really funny that I loved. God doesn't bless our butt prints. He blesses our footprints. Get out there and do it, guys. Whatever you feel God is calling you to do, he will grace you to do it. Will it be hard from time to time? Absolutely. But he will be worth it. And God is so good. He will give you the idea, give you the grace to do it, and reward you for doing it. And he's helping you all along anyway. But I had an awesome conversation with Riley. Check out his site, kingscouncil.com, rileymeek.com. He's got a coaching program. Just an awesome interview. Can't wait to chat with him again. Here's my interview with Riley. Riley, welcome to Streams of Income.
Hey, Ryan. Happy to be here, man.
Oh, man. I'm so pumped. So I was going over your Facebook profile right before this, and we have a lot of friends in common. So Ryan Horn being one of them. Another guy, Vincent Puglisi, who's a good friend of mine, is on your list.
Right on.
I know we all have friends that are like, don't really know who if I still remember why even that person's on my list, but Ryan Horn's a good buddy, but he's mentioned you many times on the calls that we've had, and you've been a tremendous impact on him. So thank you.
Oh, well, that's fantastic. I love hearing that, man.
I love hearing people's stories. So tell me yours, how you got started doing what you're doing.
Oh my goodness. Man, I feel like I don't even know where I should even start with this, man.
You can
start
wherever you want. You can go back as far as you want.
Well, I'll make it short and sweet. How about that? And then we can see what we want to dive into.
Absolutely.
But man, I grew up in South Dakota, and my folks got divorced at the age of 5. And so I like to think of that as like my very first. I'm the youngest of 3. So I had to get really good at sales and marketing at a young age, right? When you're the youngest of 3, but also from a marketing standpoint, one of the things that I realized, it's easy to look back now, but I realized that from a marketing standpoint, I got pretty good at making people feel a certain way. And at a young age, though, it was really in an unhealthy way, because transitioning back and forth between parents can be a challenge at a young age. And so whenever I'd be with my mom, I'd sneak away and I'd call my dad because I didn't want him to think that I, you know, loved my mom more than him, and vice versa. And it was a tough thing for a child to go through. But I made a vow to myself. I'm like, I'm never going to make my child go through this, which when I fast forward, you'll hear how that actually ends up here. But I ended up, I jokingly say I gave my life to entrepreneurship at the age of 15. Wow. And I gave my life to Christ at the age of 16, though, which was a radical change in my life. I was heavily involved in a network marketing company, which I don't care what anybody says about network marketing, I love the industry and the fact that it exposed me to the first understanding of what personal development actually was. And I had no clue. I didn't even know that you could actually read books that taught you how to think, right? Or even to think about why we think about things.
Yes.
And, I grew a lot during that time period, but the day I graduated high school, I moved up to Minnesota, which is still where we reside part-time. We also have a place in Florida now as well. And through, you know, the when I moved on up here, I got plugged in with a lot of great other fellow believers that were just an epic, and it was an epic time in my life in which I was able to really build community, something that I didn't know I needed so much of in my life. And I think we all do, as if, you know, no matter if you're a believer or not, just that community is such an important component to help us, you know, help us to continue to grow. But I mean, we've all heard the concept that, hey, you're the sum of the five people that you most spend the time around. And the reality is that that's true. As much as it's overused a lot, it really is true. And, you know, God really blessed me financially, and we've started 8 separate companies now, from, you know, startup to each one of those. We hit 7 and 8 figures within the first 10 months of each incredible. Of those, which was crazy to really think about now. And I want to be crystal clear. It's not that I'm like super smart or anything. I just feel God's, you know, really blessed us and allowed me, though, to grow through a lot of things. I say grow through specifically because that's a perspective that I've come to realize. And what I found, though, from a financial standpoint, man, money is a great magnifier in our life. And as much as money is it helps us do a lot of things, it is a tool one way or the other, right? No different than a hammer is a tool. Now, you could use a hammer for productive means, or you could do it to destroy things, right? No different than a gun. It's a tool. You could use it for protection, or you can use it for harm, right? Money's the same thing. And when I started to get a lot of it, I realized that it exposed a lot of areas in my life. And I realized I just wasn't that great of a dude. And that's why I say thank God he allowed me to grow through these areas. And I was putting myself in just bad company, that community component of it. And I realized that they were being more influential on me than I was on them. Mm-hmm. And at the core of it, I just really didn't have a lot of discipleship in my life. And that really, up until about four and a half years ago, man, that was my life. It was because my definition of success, from a worldly standpoint, we had it, right? It was, I wanted to do what I want, when I want, where I want, with who I want, how I want. And that sounds very douchey, but that's who I was at that time in my life. And that's what I thought was successful. But, you know, there's nothing more unfulfilling than being quote unquote successful and still feeling like a failure. And what I realize is that you can be successful at a lot of things and still feel like a failure. A prime example that I use, man, is I've got a treadmill in my basement here. That thing is incredibly successful at hanging my clothes, right? But but that's not why the manufacturer made it,
right?
And if we think about what the manufacturer is thinking, they're like, no, that's a very expensive clothes hanger, right?
Right.
And I had this realization, like, we all have a manufacturer, we have a creator, and he has designed us for an intentional purpose. Every single one of us, if we were created for a purpose on this earth, and I was not operating within my purpose. And from there, it was like this realization of, okay, I got to figure out what my purpose is, right? And I think collectively, as the body of Christ and being a believer, it's like, hey, there's two main ones, right? Love the Lord our God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then the hardest one is love our neighbor, right?
Yes.
And that's the part that gets to be a challenge. But that's like a corporate understanding of what our purpose is. But individually also, we have an individual purpose. Again, as the body of Christ, it's like we're able to come together collectively and do incredible things on this earth. Once we start to really hone in and dive into what's the God-given intended purpose of why I was created. Because true success, Ryan, what I've realized is true success has nothing to do with anybody else, nothing to do in comparison with anybody else. But true success is, did I do what I know God called me to do?
Yes.
And that's it. It's not in comparison to anybody else, because at the end of the day, it's about obedience to purpose. And when I had that understanding, it radically changed my life. Mm-hmm. Which then domino effect my wife's life, right? My daughter's life, and us as what I believe generationally will continue to have an impact on. And man, and it took me 34 stinking years to really truly figure this out, because at the end of the day, I mentioned I gave my life to Christ at 16, but uh-huh. I didn't really know what that meant. And I was looking to Jesus as Savior. Mm-hmm. But I left one component out, and that's that whole lordship the component of it. It's like,
yeah,
I didn't understand that those actually truly go hand in hand. And most Christians, unfortunately, we love to take Jesus as our Savior, but so many of us refuse to make him our Lord. Mm. The freedom that there actually is in that, man, is second to none. I can tell you wholeheartedly, man, the last 4 and 4.5 years of my life have been radical, way more radical than anything that I've ever done in life. Yes. And it's exciting and it's fun, man. And we still have our businesses and they're, you know, going well. Cause I know that is part of the purpose of why I was created, but ultimately, you know, we really disciple entrepreneurs now in our process, mm-hmm. kingdom entrepreneurs here with our ministry called the King's Council. So, man, that's kind of my story. We can go in and out of anything you want to talk to.
Yeah. So you mentioned something that's right up my alley. The true success that I do what I know God called me to do. So I'm sure you've read this scripture 100 million times. But have you heard it in the Message translation? It's John 17:4. I glorified you on earth by completing down to the last detail what you assigned me to do. I would say that's my life verse. That's one I quote often. And so if you've not heard that in the Message, that'll bless you.
Yeah, that's good, man. That is good. It's always great to look at the different translations, especially the Message. Some of those in the Message are hilarious when we actually read them. Yes. But that's really good, man. John 17:4.
John 17:4. And it's Jesus praying to the Father. I think he's maybe in the garden. But it's that those are his words.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it, man.
I love it. Well, I want to hear more. I know it sounds like your focus is like the business to you. Yeah, you do that, but that's just kind of those are happening. Sounds like your heart is the King's Council stuff. Can you you mentioned something about not having your kids go through the divorce like you did. So feel free to talk about that if you want to. But one thing I want to ask is the transition from it's all about business to now God's called you to this ministry. You dive into either of those. I'm curious that what that transition is like, because I feel like that's where I'm at.
Yes. So all about business. Well, I think it's in Luke 2:49. I think it is, if I remember correctly, because we ended up calling, we held an online challenge.
Okay.
About 3.5 years ago or so. Uh-huh. And we called it Win Big in Business Challenge. Yeah. And then we ended up coining a phrase, being about our Father's business.
Yep.
I just looked it
up for you.
Okay, amazing. So depending upon the translation, but it's funny because it's the first time, well, Jesus is it's first time, first recorded words of Jesus in the New Testament. Mm. And what's happening is they're in the temple, I believe, and yep. Mary and Joseph leave, and they go, they're like walking for like a couple days, and they're finally like, where's Jesus? Where's our boy?
Which can you imagine as a parent, like be freaking out.
Right? completely crazy. But so they come back and he'd been in the temple the entire time.
Right.
And, you know, Mary's like, hey, where have you been? You know, I've been worried. Could you even imagine? Like, we're worried sick about you. And one of the translations says, woman, which could you imagine calling your mom woman?
Right. Well,
don't you know I'm about my Father's business?
Yes.
And I was like, man, that's really truly, no matter what business that you're in, maybe you're not even in a bit, like you're a wantrepreneur looking to become an entrepreneur. At the core of that, we're about our Father's business. Now, I'm going to be the first one to say there is an importance, and I would say even a duty, for entrepreneurs to still go crush business.
Absolutely.
Financially, walk in your calling in that. If you feel like God has given me this ability, this desire to be able to create, to co-create with our Creator, Yes. You need to be doing that with excellence, because absolutely, the number one enemy of every vision that's out there, Ryan, is lack of provision.
Mm.
And this is where I think the church gets a little, unfortunately, gets a little twisted in their thinking about money and provision and relying on God. Like, I'm going to just sit back and pray for things, which is amazing.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, God doesn't bless our butt prints. He blesses our footprints, right? And,
I've never,
and
that's we awesome. Have, you say that a lot. I love that. That's a great quote.
I heard it. I can't even take credit for it, but I can't even give credit to where it's due, because I heard it a couple months ago. You have merch
on your site. That needs to be a t-shirt.
That should be. That should be, man. but the point what I'm getting at is that as entrepreneurs, when we come together, we have this mindset shift of why we do anything. Because we think a little bit differently. If you got some business owners, entrepreneurs listen to this, they know what I'm saying. It's like we see a problem and immediately we're thinking of solutions.
Yeah.
Most people aren't like that. And it's okay to think that way, right? Because we're thinking of like, well, why wouldn't they do this? Or man, you could scale it this way. Or
right.
That's not normal. And let me tell you, that is a God-given gift and that you should run with. Right. And lock arms with those that can help facilitate or help actually put those into practice. And so but before Jesus in my life, man, I mean, I'm sure you have listeners that aren't Jesus freaks like we are. But before that, it was like I had a gift. Right. And no question, you all have giftings listening to this and being able to walk those things out. You can go make an incredible amount of money in doing that, right? And that's a good thing. I would say that is a good thing to do, right? But it comes back to why we do these things. And again, as a follower of Jesus Christ, it was an understanding of like, okay, I got a new vision for my life. It's no longer the Ferrari and the jet and the private island and those. I got no problem with those. But as my prayers changed from God, do this for me. God, help me with this. Make this happen. And it was more, God, break my heart for what breaks yours.
Yeah.
God, allow my will to come into alignment with your will.
Yes.
There's a heart change that takes place within us.
Yes.
And all of a sudden we start to see things in a new light. And it's like, okay, I no longer want the things of the world, but my heart is truly broken for those things that break God's heart.
Yes.
But it also puts a burning freaking desire, a passion to go crush business even more so, sure. Right? Because there is a need that's out there. And so, yes, we still have all of our businesses and we work very, very hard at those because of that burning desire and that hunger to do absolutely different things, right? And to fund our ministry now and to fund multiple other ministry partners out there to do God's business, right? To be about our Father's business. I love in Luke chapter 19, it's the 10 minas, right? And it's like, I think verse 13 of that, it literally says, you know, it says the master is going away for a period of time and he says, conduct business.
Yeah.
And it's some translations say occupy, but it's specifically, they were given a mina, right, which is like 3 months' wages at that time, and they were called to add value to that, to multiply that, and only a couple of them actually did it, but they were given this reward of well done, good and faithful servants. And he actually rewarded them with cities, which is fascinating to me. Not even just more money, right? Or it was just like, you've been faithful with the little, I'm going to give you this city here. One that gets five cities. It's like, wow, that's influence, baby. That's incredible. Ones that did nothing, right? That just saved it. Even they didn't put it on interest, but they were just afraid to put it into action and to multiply it. He said, you are wicked. You are lazy. And take that from him and give it to the one that actually is multiplying with it. And again, that's just a change of a heart's disposition of why we do anything, man. And I know you mentioned my daughter in the divorce. Whenever we make a vow to ourselves, I mean, the Bible gives us pretty good instruction not to make vows, but understand that that allowing yourself to grow through things, and we've all made stupid mistakes. I'm the worst of the worst when it comes to this, but by God's grace, his mercy, it doesn't matter. But as I was going through those periods of time of just like stupidity, you know, I went through a divorce. Mm-hmm. I went through exactly what I swore I wouldn't allow my daughter to go through. You know, at an early age, and she hasn't really noticed knowing any different, but no question that still is like, you know, why did I allow that to happen, or how did I allow that to happen? At the end of the day, it was simply because I was chasing things of this world. I didn't know what mattered most in my life.
But God redeemed it.
Yeah. God restored. Redeemed it. Absolutely, man. Absolutely. So
that's under the blood. Don't even need to talk about it. But you said something that brought up another scripture to me when you're talking about break my heart for what breaks yours. This is in the Amplified version, and it's Proverbs 16:3, and I quote this often: roll your works upon the Lord, commit and trust them wholly to him. This part, the next part, I love: he will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to his will, and so shall your plans be established and succeed. I was meditating on this morning, Riley, because I'm thinking, you know what? God, I'm in a point where I'm not sure sometimes which to go, this direction or this direction. I know how to follow peace. I know how to hear God's voice. But it's also like, you know, I look back and I think about some of the times that God's just put things in my life, like my wife, for example, that there's nothing I could have done to me personally to make me cross her path. It was a whole, if we get to know each other better, I can tell you the story, but essentially it was just a miracle that we crossed paths. I'm sure there's things in your life, people, ideas, things that you did not, I mean, maybe you did something, but you know it was God looking back, that there's no way that connection could have happened, or that idea, or whatever it is. It was only God, and he is orchestrating our lives. The steps of a good man are directed by him. And so I just think about, you know, I feel like I feel like he's telling me this year is like, if I look back at the things that he's allowed me to do, the business success, it's all been him. And the things that had to happen in order for that all to happen were all him. Yes, I had to say yes. I had to walk. I had to get off my butt, like you said. There are things I had to do to cooperate with that. I had to follow a prompting or do something, but it was him through his grace that allowed me to make that connection. And so it's just, he's even in my thoughts. Like, God, you can take my thoughts and make my thoughts your will. Like, I need that every day. So
yes, absolutely. So good, man. It's just the sovereignty of God, right? His will come to pass, right? It's, I think at the end of the day, it's, are we going to get in the game? Yes. And are we going to allow him to use us? And it's
absolutely,
like when our hearts change, even in Proverbs 16, as you mentioned there, it's like our thoughts come into alignment with his. And the only way, truth, the only way that actually happens, man, is when you spend time with him.
Absolutely.
When you spend time in the Word of God.
Yes.
Actually, Ryan, so 4 years ago, when I was struggling with this understanding of lordship, and even this mental block that I had of like, can I still make money and be a good Christian? Yeah. Like, that's a real thing. Cause every Christian that I knew kind of leading up to this point was broke, broken, and defeated. Like, they were, that's just what I knew. And so that was my struggle. It's like, I had this gifting, but there's so many warnings in the Bible about it. Right. Now, every single one of those warnings, though, because it took me a while to really understand this. Every single one of those warnings isn't that money in itself is bad.
Right.
It's because it's not that God doesn't want us to have money. A fourth of all of Jesus's discussion and talking within the New Testament, a fourth of it had to do with money, wealth, and possessions, which is freaking radical to think about that.
Yes.
But it's not that, it wasn't a warning that we shouldn't have it. It was a warning that it shouldn't have us.
Yes.
Right. And so when I had to have that mindset shift in my life of like, okay, I can actually still do this, but the only way that I can truly be successful, because this is what I had to look this up. I'm like, is success in the Bible? Is it even in the Bible? Like, I hear, you know, in the Old Testament, there's plenty, like it was a, they were blessed. They were given land and cattle. And like, that was a sign of blessing.
Yes.
But I'm like, can it actually still happen in this period of grace that we're in? Mm-hmm. And Joshua 1:8, like it, when I was like, is success, I went right to the index, like where's success in the Bible? It's like, it's a clear direction of like how to do it. Which is, again, so amazing that we have this operating manual. Yeah. It says, hey, if you want to be prosperous and successful, it says, meditate on this book of the law.
Yes.
Right? Yep. So that you may speak what it says. Or it says, do not let it depart from your lips so that you may do what it says. So think about it, speak about it, do about it. Yep. And then you will be prosperous and successful. And that's when I was like, absolutely, done. I could do that, man. This is going to be easy. Now, it's not easy, but it is clear instructions, right? The Bible gives us exact instructions on how to live life. It's not a warning, or excuse me, it's not a rule book of regulations of things we can't do. Think of this, and this was a mindset change for me, if we think about it as like, no, God's given us the playbook of how to have success, in true success, not worldly success, but how to be truly prosperous, rich in spirit, right? And actually have that fulfilling, fruitful life. Absolutely. And it's spending that time with him, meditating on the word of God, and speaking it, and then doing it.
Love it. I love it. And what, guys, we're talking about, like I was telling you, Riley, that I feel like I'm in a transition from business to ministry. I want people listening to hear this, that your business is your ministry. It doesn't mean that if I'm, because it sounds like you have this King's Council that you're doing. That's kind of your heartbeat now. You still have businesses. I don't want anybody to hear us say and think that business, you should go from business and you need to open up a non, to truly serve the Lord, you need to have a nonprofit and you need to become a pastor or do something in quote ministry. Your business right where you are is ministry, and it's very, very, very much needed. This is just he and I's personal journeys. I'm still very much in business. We'll always be in business, and I want to train business leaders too, but your business is your ministry right where you are right now. You don't have to have a nonprofit and do everything that Riley's doing to serve the Lord in this.
Yeah, absolutely, man. More importantly than that, because at the end of the day, most people, it's 2024 right now, man. Most people, unless they've been exposed, unless it's like Easter or Christmas, most people aren't walking around looking for a church and coming into the walls, the four walls of a church building. This is where the body of Christ has to be, out in the marketplace, right? Truly being the church. Yeah. And then once they get to experience and they see the fruit in your life as a business owner, as a leader, and they realize, man, that guy's different. That girl, there's something different about there. Why are they positive? Why do they not get like stressed out in situations? Like there's a difference. That's what causes questions to arise. And then you can invite them into the body of Christ church, and then maybe come into the four walls of church, right? Like that's the important aspect of us being in the marketplace. Absolutely. Ministry, first off, if you've given your life to Jesus, you're in full-time ministry. Don't think vocationally that's what you do. You are, if you're a disciple, it doesn't matter if you're a rodeo clown or a network marketer, you are called to ministry. We are all called to evangelize, right? To do the works of an evangelist. We're called to do that in conjunction as we're doing every single thing else. And the only way that I know how to do that is to be out in the marketplace, but letting your fruit be the evidence. Jesus said that they will know us by our fruit, right? And that's you being strong amongst the storm, right? When the recession that this, the crap that's going on, man, it's like you have to be you. If you're truly rooted in Christ, yes, there can be stressful times, but at the core of it, you can always come back to your Savior, right? Resources are going to change multiple times throughout your life, but your source should never change. Yes. And when people see that, that is the fruit. That's the living water that they desire and they thirst. And the only thing that will quench it is by you being in the marketplace, being the salt and the light for them to actually, you know, be there, to just to invite them to experience what you know to be true.
Yes. Amen. I love this. you and I could talk for hours and hours and hours. I want to hear more about the King's Council, your heart behind that. I was on your page earlier looking at the statistics that you had. Also want to know, I'm sure I can go to Amazon or your site to get your books about kingdom entrepreneurship because I absolutely want to read those. But tell me more about King's Council, your heart behind that, and what you guys are trying to do there.
Yeah, man. So the King's Council, let me be clear too. This, we started out as a coaching company for profit. It was another company that and the whole reason this started 4 years ago was when I had this understanding, this lack of fulfillment. And I remember it so clearly, man. I was just sat down on my couch here in our basement. It was just after another probably weekend of just, you know, friends over, alcohol, like just trying to like soothe my fulfillment in other ways. And I just sat down on my couch and was like, God, is this really what life's about? To just go make money, to build business, to, you know, I was 34 at the time. And it's just like, is this it? Is this what you have for me? And granted, I had not been crying out to God at all for like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, man. And so he's finally like, excuse me, what you okay. but through that, I started to think back to, as I mentioned earlier, the community component. Mm-hmm. When I moved up to Minnesota and I started at Normandale Community College, I knew nobody, but I heard of this group called InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. And I was like, I don't know. I love Jesus. So there's gotta be people that are like me. And I had built some of the most incredible relationships out of there, which hardly any of those guys do I ever talk to on a regular basis anymore. But I will guarantee you this, if I called any one of those, mm-hmm. I know, and that was a true need, they would be here at the drop of a hat because of the bond that we had actually grew together during that time. And so I thought back to that and being in the business world and you know, I'd been a part of a number of masterminds, mm-hmm. coaching groups, you know, and all of them, they're there to, I mean, in my opinion, they were very expensive, just like stroke fest that I was just like, I don't need to go and get like applauded. And, you know, and it's like, I want real in my life. Like, and if I was at this point in time, I was still questioning, like, God, are you even real to me anymore? Mm. Like, I truly was just like crying out for that. But I remember what I felt like during that time with that community. Yeah. And I started to look across, I started to go online and it was like, are there groups like this that are still business groups, but at the core of it, love Jesus. Mm-hmm. And they're not like going out boozing afterwards or going to the bar. It's like, but they're like truly on fire for Jesus, but truly care about each other. And it's not about what can I get, it's what can I give.
Yes.
And I didn't really see it. I didn't see it, at least without a bunch of gray-haired old men. and nothing against
right.
that.
Right.
I love those, you know, those groups as well. But I wanted like some rock. Like, I like to have fun, man. I like, like, let's get down and dirty. Let's start from scratch. Let's build stuff, right? I don't want to talk about the glory days. I want to make the glory days, right? I was 34 at the time, and that was when I was like, this was through all of the 2020 debacle, right? And I remember at that time, as I'm seeking out different mentors, and I'm you know, hiring spiritual leaders in my life, I'm like, I don't know, I need to know this word, help me understand this. And through that, man, in July of 2020, all the BLM stuff was going on and it was just chaos. And I was on my phone and I'm just like, I cannot leave this to my daughter the way that it is right now. She was 8 and she walked in and I just was so clear. I was like, I cannot leave this earth. And as quickly as I had that thought, man, I was like, I heard this whisper in my ear of like, what are you going to do about it? And it's just this feeling that it's just like, it can feel overwhelmed. Especially if you're on media, if you're on social media, and it's just like, there's just this heaviness upon it. Yeah. But as quickly as I felt that whisper, I felt in my other ear of, if not you, then who?
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. All right. And I didn't know what the heck that even meant, but I just started to talk about it, started to raise my hand and say, hey, does anybody else feel this way? Does anybody else have this desire for community? And that really led into our first online challenge that I'd mentioned. And it turns out there was a lot of people that desired this, like some rock star Jesus freaks that weren't weird. But that they like to do hard stuff. They like to build business. And now all of a sudden we formed this community. We were doing events all throughout the country and it was just incredible. Every event, man, we had, you know, 20 plus people that either gave their life to Christ or recommitted their life to Christ. We held baptisms. It was this radical time, man. And as you know, as things grow in any business, as things grow, things, you know, we started to be pruned and there was a pruning season for us of like radical growth. So we did 7 figures our first year through this coaching company. And I didn't even know what I was doing, man. It was just like, let's just get together. And all of a sudden it was evolving into what people wanted. And through that though, about a year and a half ago, I really felt God just saying like, hey, there's more to this. The King's Council is more than just a for-profit coaching company. And we ended up actually converting it into a nonprofit. So we are a true ministry now. And every dollar that comes into the King's Council, we actually give out. We've partnered with incredible ministry partners and groups that fight child trafficking, that fight for life, you know, abortion issues. And there's just some amazing things that have happened through the King's Council. But at the end of the day, we still, our heart is really to disciple entrepreneurs. Yeah. That's what we are. We are a community of like mindsetted believers. Mm-hmm. And I say mindsetted in the fact that I'm a firm believer. We are either progressing or we are regressing. Yeah. Right. I don't believe that there's any such thing as like staying still or I've hit a plateau. It's like, no. You're on a plateau. You get a choice right now. Are you going to push through? Are you going to persevere or are you going to dial back? You're either thriving or you are dying in this situation. Mm-hmm. And that's really what the King's Council is about. So really we have coaching curriculum and different things like that we provide. People want group coaching, business coaching. Wow. We help people go from, like I said, wantrepreneur to entrepreneur, but our true heart is to really come alongside the local church to be the catalyst for those entrepreneurs within their group through small group curriculum. And we have an epic framework that we provide all that free of charge.
That's so cool.
People that are listening, if you're like, I'd love to start a small group in my church that's for entrepreneurs and business owners. Yeah. We have curriculum completely free.
So like if I was at church, I would say like, what I'm interested in doing that. I would essentially go to my church and say, I want to start a small group. We're going to go through this curriculum and I get all that stuff from you. And I essentially kind of facilitate that group. That's beautiful.
You got it.
That's really cool.
You got it. Yeah. Kind of a train the trainer concept. And for those that have that desire us to even come in and do a weekend workshop, we would do that as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have expectations that it's not like for 12 people as it's expensive for us to come in and do these things. But our next one is coming up in April here at Summit Church in Elkins, West Virginia. We got a few hundred people registered to come to that. Well, we're going to spend a couple days with these, and it's not just entrepreneurs because we call these events become the CEO of your life. And so we focus on mental, emotional, physical, spiritual, and the financial component, but also just how that kind of correlates with true entrepreneurship. And what I believe everybody is actually an entrepreneur, Ryan. Like that doesn't matter if you have a 9-to-5 job or if you're a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah.
You're an entrepreneur because the core of that word, it just simply means to undertake.
Yeah.
And if you take on that mindset, you're willing to undertake whatever that task is at hand and operate with excellence because of who we're doing it for. It ain't for man. It ain't for our boss. It ain't even for our child that we're hoping to raise. Like we are doing this unto the Lord. Yes. And when we take on that mindset, it births this new desire and this hunger for why we do anything.
Right.
And so those events kind of act as the tip of the spear to launch those small group curriculums and things like that. Awesome. So
those are that's a totally free event.
Totally free.
That's incredible.
Totally free.
That's
our whole team
are able to do that.
Comes on in. Actually, we even bring some epic guest speakers. Our good buddy Graham Allen is coming in. He's a stud. He's got a podcast called Dear America, which he delivers news, but from a biblical worldview.
Okay.
not the CNN worldview, but actually truly from a biblical worldview. And so, yeah, it's just a great opportunity. But again, it isn't even about us. It's about creating a space and an environment for like-minded people to get together.
I love it. I love it. I'm on your site right now because this just was startling to me about the number of people. Like, there's 209 million Americans identifying as Christians. 15.5 million of them say they tithe, but the average amount is 2.5%. And you go on to talk about just how much if we could get people to start businesses, essentially you could fully fund all missions work overseas. Like, is that the heart? I mean, is your goal is to raise up people in business, create that extra income so that they can fund all these works around the world and get the gospel out?
It really is, man. It really is. I know the last 150 years of culture and society, specifically here in America, has indoctrinated people to become employees, right? And again, if you're an employee, there's nothing wrong with that. You can look throughout the Bible, though, and I don't see a concept really of an employee. This is a man-made concept, right? In the Bible, they were masters, they were slaves, they were laborers, and they were servants, right? So the closest thing from an employee would be like a slave or a servant, right? You're expected to be at a specific time. You get a specific rate or wage for that time that somebody else has put that value on you, versus a laborer is like, you know, what would have been Paul's a tent maker. Right. Or a blacksmith. And what's happened, though, is culture, society has indoctrinated, starting with the children who are now second, third generation. Now, in 1913, man, only 3% of the population were actually employees.
Wow.
And 97% were entrepreneurs, independent contractors. Today, that number is completely inverse. And so this is what I think the enemy has done an incredible job at. And I mean, I could talk for days on this, but it's indoctrinating the church, tricking us into thinking that, in order to be even a good Christian, you just have to go to school, which is insane. If we also hear that debt is bad, but you're going to go $200,000 into debt to come out to get a job paying you a third of that, you are enslaved to the system.
Yeah.
And this is like, so if you've gone that route, no problem. But I can promise you it's going to be very difficult for you to climb that corporate ladder only to get enough. Because even if you think about it, back in biblical times, man, it was like you when you worked long enough. Okay, we would call this like tenure in today's society. When you worked long enough, you could actually buy your retirement. Right. They would like stamp you. They'd give you a piercing to but you're still you could buy your retirement. And also in the Bible, there's really no concept of retirement other than buying your freedom.
You're a student of Rabbi Lappin because he talks about a lot of this stuff.
I've read some of his commentaries. Yes, love him, man. But yeah, it's crazy to really think about this, and we just accept it as norm,
right?
And but this is even what I mentioned, the idea of just personal development. It's like if we uncritically just accept what society tells us and we don't audit our thoughts or start to think about why we think about things, we are just going to go along with the status quo. And we have to really understand there is an enemy at work in our lives, whether you believe in God or not. I'm telling you, there is an enemy at work that is trying to break up the family, that is trying to, at its core, its whole being is to attack us, because it is the only way that he can get to his arch enemy, which is Almighty God, our creator. And if he can wiggle his way into us and make us slaves to a system of something that takes away our time, right? And I hear this a lot, man, that, you know, well, I feel God's called me or put me in this place of employment. I'm not, if you truly feel that way, then incredible. But I still have a tough time believing that God's going to put you in a place that also has the number one rate of adultery, that ties you up, not only financially, but your time.
Yes.
If you think about all the time that you have to spend within a job that takes you away from the ability to actually serve, right? Because most people, if you have this heart of like, man, I have a heart for, I mentioned child trafficking earlier. Like when I think about that, if you've watched the Sound of Freedom movie, and if you weren't just like brought to tears to your core of like, God, how evil that is. Like we in America have everything going for us in I mean, God has blessed America thus far, but like crazily, the the average person in America, average annual income is like $70,000. You can look at all these other countries. I think I saw in like Sudan, it was like $1,200.
Yeah.
Annual income. I think it was $500 in Afghanistan. And yes, there's difference because we're experiencing bite inflation right now. That's like crazy to do anything. But the reality is it doesn't matter because our $1 can literally change somebody's life, like their children's life, if we were actually responsible with how we stewarded our finances.
Yes.
Right. And this is where I think as Americans, we need to get this right. We need to take this seriously because at some point the master's returning and there's three things that he's going to ask, right? He's like, were you accountable?
Yeah.
First off, were you available when I asked you, were you available or were you tied down because a master said you had to be at your job 40 hours a week? Yeah. Right. And then he's going to ask, were you responsible with even what I gave you? Did you actually do anything? Did you multiply what I had given you or did you just save it or did you just bury it? Did you multiply it? And then the last one is the accountability. Like, show me the fruit. What did you do? Because if you've given your life to Jesus and you actually on judgment day, okay, when you actually, if you've given your life to Jesus, signed, sealed, delivered, salvation is there, right? It's not a question of getting into heaven. Right. The judgment is going to be, what did you do with what I gave you?
Yes.
And that, if when we think about that, it's kind of like, and that ain't preached that often, right? And it's not the judgment of like, hey, are you getting in or are you not?
Right.
It is, what did you do with what I gave you?
Yes.
And when I think about that, man, there's the only thing, literally the only reason I'm still breath in my lungs today is because the only thing that I want to hear is, well done, good and faithful servant. Whatever it is that he's given us to do, it doesn't matter if you've got 3 cents in your pocket or 30 million in your pocket. What did you do with what I gave you? Because so we are called to multiply.
Yes,
no matter what it is, how do we add value to what he's given us?
Wow, I love it, man. Wow. I could talk to you forever. I probably need to let you go. It's so good. When you get on stage,
we'll
you do
a lot of keynotes.
Do a lot of keynote speeches. Is this, what's your main message to those audiences?
Yeah, kind of along those lines, man. It is the kingdom economy, as you were talking about. You said those stats. So on our website, it isn't even a lack of resources that we have. If every self-professed Christian in America tithed, and again, this is a stretch because it says there's 209 Christians in America. I ain't buying that for a second. But it's kind of like how I was when I grew up in South Dakota. It's like, yeah, I'm a Christian.
Right.
But I didn't know what, I had no clue what that even meant. Right. It's just like, oh, you're just a Christian. It was just like this thing. So I don't buy that number, but if you actually look at all of those numbers and the fact that they consider 2.5% a tithe, that's a fallacy right there because a tithe is a tenth.
Right.
So those stats are totally whacked. And that's why I put them on the site. Right. But if we actually just did, again, what the Bible said, this is just back to God's told us exactly how to be successful in life. If we just tithed in America alone, the average or in America, the Christians together, we produce $5.2 trillion annually. Yeah. What? Trillion. A tithe on that's $520 billion. Literally on the site too, I lay out exactly what it would cost to solve world hunger, to solve water and sanitation issues. And at the end of it, there's still $418 billion left over.
Yep.
So it is not a lack of resources. It is a lack of stewardship. And this is what the church has to get right.
Yeah.
And it's not even that, you know, if you're a Christian, you go to church and you're like, oh, they're talking about money again. That's a problem. That's your heart problem, and God wants to deal with it, right? Because when you tithe, so we talk a lot about just the importance of giving, and the Bible says we can't serve both God and mammon, mm-hmm. right? Which is the spirit of money. That's what mammon, a proper definition is. It's the power. This is why Jesus talked about it so much. Yes. And so we have to make the decision, who are we going to serve? And the only way that I've known how to determine that decision, Ryan, is to ask myself, who is dictating the decision? Mm-hmm. Is it God or is it mammon? Mm-hmm. And this is every decision that we make. If it's when I get out of bed, am I going to work to that 8-hour job or am I not? And we can justify everything in our brain of like, well, I'm doing it because I love my family and I'm doing it because I love this, mm-hmm. but could there be a better way? Yeah. Right? Or are we shopping? This is a big one in the kingdom economy. Are we shopping for the cheapest thing, even though I know that dollar is going to somebody that is it Muslim, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody that is not within my faith, or should we actually sow on good soil?
Yeah.
Right? Should we actually sow into our other brothers and sisters that naturally increases the tithe? So we talk a ton about the kingdom economy, how to increase the tithe, how to initiate radical generosity. And then in doing that, man, increasing the capacity for entrepreneurs to steward more, to steward well, right? And what we can do with those is the most important component of it. Because at the end of the day,
something that I've
can't give what you don't got.
I've never even thought about is like when I, if I do business with you, I'm using money that I've already tithed on, then you're tithing on it. It's, and then like you take that money and go buy groceries at a grocery store where that a Christian owns, that guy is going to tithe on it. That recycles that that's incredible. I mean, I've never thought about that before.
You don't even have to believe in God for that, the supernatural for that to work. You just have to believe in math.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it works every time.
It does. Wow. Oh my gosh. That totally multiplies it. I mean, it gets smaller each time, but you know what I'm saying? But it's still like infinitely more than it would be if it stopped with me. But
if it circulates, correct. If it circulates within the kingdom, this is a self-fulfilling economy.
Wow.
Right? And that's the thing. It's that Christians are not loyal to each other. We're serving mammon when we decide to send money outside of the kingdom. And that's just the reality of it. It's not that we can't do business with people, but let's just be a little bit more intentional about doing it. But here's the real problem is, and I hate even saying this, but a lot of Christians that I've hired in the past, man, they suck. They're not excellence. They're if you order, it used to be, that's why I love my buddy, Derek Dahl with Three Nails. The clothing that they're putting out now is freaking epic. It beats Lululemon, man. But it's incredible. And that's what every Christian product, every service that we have should be nothing but excellence.
Absolutely.
Because if we are ambassadors for Christ, we are image bearers for Christ, that's who we're representing in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. How in the world can we put out mediocre?
Yes.
How in the world can we do that?
Absolutely.
And that comes back to, okay.
So good.
In my frustration as well, it's part of this discussion of kingdom economy. It's like, I want to do business with Christians, but also you better do your part. Because if it ain't good,
right,
you get kicked out of the economy, man.
Exactly. Oh my gosh, that's so good. Where do you want people to find you? Where's the best website to send them? I'm on your King's Council site now, but you also have RileyMeek.com. I'll put these all in the show notes, but where's your preferred place?
Yeah, if people want to know more about like joining the community, joinkingscouncil.com is probably the best part. We have, you know, different phases in which, depending upon where you're at in business, if you haven't started anything, if you've been in business, maybe you're a 7, 8, 9-figure earner already, but you're still like, I need community. That's what I was. And so there's different paths that we would, you know, suggest you start at, but also, you know, we have an app that, it should be by the time this comes out, man, we have a free app. We want everybody to download because we have community app within there. Scott, you have your own profile, but it's kingdom minded business owners. And we talk about life, but we have free Bible studies every week. Wow. And just join the community. We just want people to be a part of this. Awesome. And if you listen to podcasts, we have, you know, the King's Council podcast drops every Thursday as well. New episodes there.
Awesome. I'm going to start listening. Riley, thank you. Thanks for being on, man. Anytime you want to jump on, you are more than welcome. You just tell me you want to be on and I'll put you on. I appreciate this.
Sounds good, man. Yeah. Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Ryan.
Of course.
see you next week.